Appreciate that. The taming of the tongue. If you have your Bibles and you want to open up to James chapter 3 there. The taming of the tongue. And I thought I'd start out talking about tongue trouble. You ever get into tongue trouble? Your mouth ever get you into trouble? I think most people can relate to this. I know my tongue gets me into problems and sometimes it gets me out of problems. But most of all, it gets me into trouble. The tongue seems to be one of those amazing things. You say something, it's like, oh, I wish I could just go grab it and pull it back in. I heard a story of a young man who was his first day of work. And he got himself into, he was a clerk in the greens goods department of a supermarket. First day of work, and a lady came up to him. She wanted to know this. She wanted to buy a half a head of lettuce. And so he tried to dissuade her from the goal, but she persisted. And finally he said, I'll have to go back and talk to my manager. So he walked to the rear of the store, and when he got to the back of the store, not noticing that the woman was walking behind him, he was talking to the manager and he said, there's some stupid old bag out there who wants to buy a half a head of lettuce. And the look on the manager's face, the guy immediately knew she was standing behind him. And so he said, and this sweet lady would like to buy the other half of the lettuce. And to which the manager said, that would be fine. Later on in the day, the manager pulled this young guy aside. He said, I am very impressed at how quick your mind thinks. He said, where are you from? He says, I'm from Toronto, where there's beautiful hockey players and ugly women. And the manager said, my wife's from Toronto. And the young man said, well, which hockey team does she play for? I'm telling you, the tongue can get us into trouble. It really can. It's gotten me into more problems than I could ever dare to dream about. The tongue is an amazing thing. We use words to help people to fall in love. With the right words, we end up married for 22 years with 5 wonderful kids and a beautiful wife. And with certain, yeah. Oh, that's me. And with the words, sometimes we say things and things fall apart. With words, wars are started, and with words, wars are dissuaded. Words are an amazing thing. With the right word, your whole day is going the right way. And with certain words, your day is going to fall apart. Words are an incredible thing. And so I thought, what a great way to start out talking about blessings and cursings, the trouble with the tongue, the power of the tongue, or I like to call this sticks and stones. And so I want to talk about that. The word blessing is a misunderstood word. People always talk about that. Well, if you're a Christian, you need to be blessed. Well, what does the word blessed mean? What if I'm not blessed as a Christian? Am I not a Christian? Well, the word blessing in the Hebrew is the word prosperity. So what does that mean? In the Greek, I like the Greek translation where Jesus talks about blessed is the man who is pure in heart. Blessed is the peacemaker. Blessed are you. And the word blessed is the word, it means, oh, how content I am. And so I like that. That's a good way to understand what blessing means. You see, my wallet may not be full, my health may not be perfect, but I'm supposed to be blessed. In all of that, my wallet may not be full and my health may not be perfect, but I can say, oh, how content I am as a person. I can be blessed. And the word cursing is an interesting Hebrew word. It means to cut away. And so if you're cursed, it just simply means to be cut away from God. It means to be cut away from the things that God has for you. And so when people say, well, I just feel like I'm cursed. I just don't have things going. It just means God had something for it, and it's all been cut away and taken away from you. And it's not a part of your life. And we can get there, and for the next couple months, we're going to look in the next several weeks at what that really means in other ways. But today I thought a great way to talk about is the tongue. The tongue has the power to curse and the power to bless. And so a few things that we need to start with is, number one, The whole power of the tongue is it starts in small sound bites. You ever notice that? Small sound bites? That's how we either are blessed or cursed. As people, who we are, we feel blessed or cursed by little sound bites that happen in our lives. I think when we're really small, that's where it all begins. In fact, there's a proverb. If you have your Bibles open there to James, don't lose that mark. I would love you to see this verse. It's chapter 18 in the Old Testament, verse 21. If you'll flip back there, it's important to understand that there's a lot of stuff written in the Bible about the tongue. Chapter 18, verse 21. The writer of Proverbs says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death." That's a pretty powerful statement. The tongue, your tongue has the power of life in it, and it has the power of death. And those who love it will eat of its fruit. And so I thought, what a perfect way to start out. Sound bites. Take a bite of that fruit. Your tongue, you will eat life, or through your tongue, you will eat death. Now, the scripture says in James, he starts out there with two illustrations. He says, we put bits into the mouths of horses. We put bits into the mouths of horses. And so I borrowed this, and I hope it's clean. I'm going to need to get a volunteer to come up here. We want to... Yeah, we've got people all ready to go. It's interesting. I've ridden horses out where my dad lives. We cut cattle and do stuff and ride horses and race quarter horses and amazing animals. I've ridden probably most of my life horses. I can handle a horse, especially when it has one of these on it. When it doesn't, it's a whole different ballgame because that horse will do whatever it wants to do. Now, I had an opportunity, and some of you might see that. I won't do it again this summer when we go to Wyoming to ride on a bull. They actually have, at the end of the week, we do a full-blown rodeo, and they let two guys over the age of 18 that are stupid, to sign a waiver and ride bareback where they just hook a little rope around it, which I think just makes it mad, and say, you know, nod your head when you're ready. We'll open the gate, and out you go. And I've had an opportunity to do that a couple times, and probably, again, some of the more foolish things I've done in my life. But what a ride. That bull didn't want to do anything I wanted it to do. It came out of the gate and it shot left and I shot right. And that was my first concussion. And I said, that's the last time I'm going to ride the bull like that. You see, a horse is an amazing animal. Its strength and its beauty, it's just a majestic animal. But with something so small like this, you can control it in its mouth. And James says, I want to tell you two illustrations. He says, like a bit in a horse's mouth that can control the whole horse, or like a rudder, a small rudder on a great ship, which can set that ship in its course, so is the tongue just like that. And that's sound bites, little sound bites in our lives. It's the little things in our lives that seem to control us. I find it interesting that the bit and the rudder are the things that you really don't see. You see the horse and the ship, but you really don't see those small things. And yet those unseen things control the things that are seen. Listen, it's those things that you don't see that actually control your life. When I was a boy, it was those sound bites in my life. And I share this because I'm over it. And it's okay to share it. But when I was small, I heard oftentimes those little sound bites in my life. And here's what they were. You can never do anything right. I heard that more than anything else growing up. And I honestly believe I could do nothing right. I remember one day my father sent me out to get a hammer in the garage. He said, it's just hanging up on the shelf. And it was hanging up on the shelf. I walked out there and I knew in my mind I could never find the tool he'd always send me for. I don't know if you've ever been there or done that. But he said, go out to the garage and he said, get that tool for me. I need to get this done right now. So out I went. On my way out, I knew in my mind, I can still see that day walking out into the garage. I can still smell the smells. I can hear the sounds out there. And I went up and I stood there and I cried. And as I looked around, I said, I can't find the hammer. I looked and I looked. I looked on the shelf. I looked on the brackets. I looked everywhere. I looked in drawers. I could not find the hammer. About 10 minutes later, and I knew it would happen, here he came. He came walking out into the garage, yelling at me. You can never do anything right. You, and then here it came, the sound bite. You knothead. That was my name growing up. It's okay now. If there's laughter, I'm okay with it. I can laugh at it now. But growing up, knothead meant to me, I could never do anything right. My sister had a nickname. Fatty, fatty, 2x4. Couldn't fit through the bathroom door. So she went right on the floor. That's the story of fatty, fatty, 2x4. My sister was overweight growing up. And she heard it from me. And she heard it from my father. And she heard it from everyone she knew. My sister's been through 4 husbands. And she's been through quite a life. sound bites in our lives that start out really small. And the Bible says words have life and words have death. And those who eat of it will eat of its fruit. And we do. We eat of those fruits all the time. We say words, you know, and if you could just catch it and we just kind of chew on them. And words go out of our mouths every day. In fact, women and men, just to compare it, men use 25,000 words a day, psychologists tell us. Women use a few more than that. Women, they say, use about 50,000 words a day. 50,000 words a day. 55,000. You know, and that's why when men come home, they say, actually, this is a side note, they say when men come home, they've used up their words, and they sit down, and they're ready to just kind of go, oh, I'm tired, words. And the wife, she's just getting warmed up. And she's ready to talk. So how was your day? How do you feel? How are you doing? What are you doing? What's going on? And you're going. And guys just tend to, they're done with words. They start making noises. It's true. And babies, they know this to be true about babies. Girls will talk first, form words first, and boys will form noises first. You know, and all the noises. And guys, I don't think it ever changes. I think we're still making noises, okay? And girls are still trying to form those words. But it's interesting in our communication because we use a lot of words. And honestly, a lot of the words we use is just the fruit of what we eat. We either sow life or we sow death. And those little sound bites, they kind of get to us. And it's interesting because we grow up, that sets our whole... The Bible says bits and rudders. Or like I like to say, horses and courses. You got a horse and you got a ship on its course. And it says, isn't it amazing how these little things can control such large vessels or animals? Interesting, he uses two illustrations here. He could have just said, hey, here's the deal, a horse. But he uses two, and I think he did this for a reason. The horse has a will, the ship does not. Man has a will, our circumstances do not. We have certain words that we can speak ourselves in our own will, and we can change our circumstances right now. A horse can turn around right now, right? It's a whole lot easier to turn a horse than it is a big cruise line ship. It's going to take a long time to get that thing turned. But a horse, you can stop it on a dime, a little yank, and it's going to turn around. Same thing with our will. We have an act of our will. In one moment, I could change the course of my life with a few words. And I did that in 1982. I said, yes, Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God. I will give you my life. And God, at that moment, changed my whole life. In one moment, I stopped, and He changed my life by an act of my will, just like that. You can change your life in speaking your life with words. You can change situations in people's lives just like that. Circumstances are a whole different thing. They're like that big ship. You say, I need to change my circumstance. Financially, things are just a mess. I will never get out of this mess. You need to change your words from that cursing, and you need to change it to blessing. You say, I'm going to change my situation. And you look at it and you go, there is no way I could get out of this debt. And you say, yes, I can. Because you're going to eat the fruit of the life, or you're going to eat the fruit of the death in your life. And you say, you know what, I'm going to do $5 a week for the next 20 years. Now, that's going to take a long time to turn that ship around, okay? But you can turn your ship around. Circumstances just take longer. But the act of your will can take one moment. And I think that's what James is telling us here. You want to eat that fruit? What are you eating of? And what is it that's being planted into your life? Now, I have to tell you, many of us in this room are determined to live our lives by the way that we hear those sound bites every day. I hear it all the time in counseling. Well, my husband always tells me how worthless I am. He doesn't mean to, but sometimes he'll just let it slip and it'll just come on out. Or I'll hear kids say that. My parents got mad at me. And they said, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be in the leadership team. You're supposed to be. And the kids go, well, why even try anymore? Because they just throw that up in my face. I didn't know I was supposed to be perfect. And those things, hey, listen, these are common words that come out all the time. Those little sound bites. Do you know that 80% of the sound bites that you tell yourself are negative sound bites? Most of what we say to ourselves, it's called self-talk. We will self-talk ourselves right out of stuff. You look in the mirror. I just wish. We walk down the street. If only I could, I couldn't. In our jobs, with our children, with our marriages. Oh, it'll never happen. We negative self-talk ourselves half to death. And you see a world that's full of negative self-talk. I mean, flip on your television and you can see the effects of these little sound bites. And you hear this all the time. Now, I don't have to tell you all the studies that have been done on the psychology of this. Do you know words do really have the ability to heal us? And they have the ability to kill us. They have done more studies. I've done more research this week just to make sure I know what I'm talking about. Because I said, I just don't want to bring something in and make a statement. I want to make sure I have my facts straight. But they've done all these studies. In fact, one lady, her son was in a hospital dying, this older gal, and her son was in a car accident and was dying. As he's laying in the hospital room next to another guy in the ICU who is also dying, an older gentleman, she came in and she would talk to her son every day saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You see, the Bible says, in our words are life and death, and those who love them will eat of their fruit. And she's given little sound bites to her son. It's going to be okay. And the doctor pulled her aside and said, ma'am, you know that your son is not going to live through this. He's in a cult and he's just done. And she said, okay, if my son is done, do me a favor. And she pulled all the nursing staff aside. She said, that's fine if he's done. But at least for my sake, would you help me by doing this with me? And she got all the nursing staff and they said, we'll do that too. We'll come in and each day we'll come in and we'll say, you look so much better today. You're doing so much better today. And every day they started doing this. Do you know that that guy was healed and came out of that coma and was alive? But more than that, the gentleman that was next to it, in the coma next to him, the older guy, he actually came out of his coma and he was healed and he thanked the mom and said, I want to thank you for every day coming and telling me I was getting better. She says, well, I was talking to my son. He said, well, I didn't know that. The power of words has life and the power of words have death in them. And those who love them will live by their fruit. The sound bites in our lives. Those are important sound bites. What sound bites are you using? When you wake up in the morning, I've been trying to do that. In fact, on the way over here, I told my son, he was sitting there and I said, love. And he kind of looked at me. I said, poop. I guess that's okay to say. I said that. And he looked at me, he goes, what are you doing? I said, tree. He's looking at me like, Dad, you've lost it. I said, does that mean anything to you? He goes, no. I said, love. And he smiled. He goes, you're weird. I said, okay. I'm just trying out words on you to see how you feel. He goes, okay, this is kind of strange, Dad. But all right. I said, well, I'm talking about that this morning. He goes, okay, well, I'm going to be in the nursery. Tell me more about it. And I started telling him some more about it. I said, son, I want to talk about sound bites. I want to use good sound bites in your life. And I don't always use good sound bites. I mean, there's days I just like, what were you thinking? And then it's out there. And I just took a sound bite. I just took a bite of it. And I went, why did I say that to him? Is he going to grow up one day and think, I can't? Or am I going to say, son, I love you and you can? It's an amazing thing. One of the most powerful healing tools we have are the everyday words we use. Their meanings. Listen to this. I had to print this. I've done research. I even made sure I checked my references. I found multiple sources to make sure this was true. The meanings and vibrations of their sound impart a profound and measurable effect on our health. Although there is considerable research in this area, most of the medical field know very little about the healing power of words. Positive words result in positive effects, and negative words are negative. Listen to this. How words are used can encourage health or advance illness in our lives. In the 1990s, research at the University of Arizona, headed by Gerald Schwartz, Ph.D., demonstrated that words used by parents in talking to their children directly affected the health of their children for decades. This research was a part of the Harvard Mastery of Stress Study, a 35-year study which followed many parameters of stress and health. In this study, it was found that regardless of other health risk factors, children from loving parents who use positive words had less coronary artery disease, high blood pressure, stomach ulcers, and alcoholism than from those who were negative with their children. Now, I think that's cool, but what I'm going to share with you now absolutely blew my mind. Some might say that the power of words is simply a placebo or is dependent upon the perceived meaning, which is fine. That may be true to some degree. However, words are a form of energy and have specific vibrational qualities. Now, I had to really research this because you can find a lot of junk on the web and in textbooks and in medical journals. And I found this to be cross-referenced multiple times in this study. The effects of these specific vibrations on the physical world are measurable and reproducible. Over the past few decades, pioneering work has demonstrated that words not only impact our health, but the vibration quality of words can influence the shape of life-giving water. In a very interesting research, Marasu Emoto, PhD, has shown that positive words like love and wisdom, literally spoken to liquid water and then frozen, cause the formation of beautiful ice crystals. Negative words like you fool or you're an idiot resulted in poorly organized ice crystals. Interestingly, the ice crystals formed from the very word wisdom in English, German, and Japanese all look very similar. This guy's a microbiologist and he put this stuff under a glass and said incredible ice formations from wonderful words, and they have these vibrations in it and cause perfect formations. But using negative words actually cause fissures and cracks in the ice. This is just water, folks. And they've done this study over and over for 30 years. And they've done it in multiple languages, and they've done it multiple times. Our words actually have an impact. And then and parents, you'll have fun with this when you go home. Kids, you may not like this. Music also has a form of energy and can also affect the shapes of ice crystals. Classical music results in well-formed ice crystals, whereas subjected to heavy metal music and then frozen is disorganized and chaotic. He goes on to say, considering that adults are 70% water, and depending on the age, children can be up to 95% water, maybe the words we use affect our actual physical structure and well-being, and ultimately our health. Isn't that interesting? I just thought, funny that we just discovered that now with some PhD and microbiologists, and God wrote over 4,000 years in the book of Proverbs chapter 18, He said, in our words are life, and in our words are death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Well, see, I didn't need any psychologist or doctor to tell me sound bites will affect my life. I already had God saying, if you speak the words of life, you will eat that fruit. And if you speak the words of death, you will eat that fruit. You see, it's by those words that we can steer our ship of our lives, and we can steer the course of children and people every day of our lives. It's funny how you can walk up to someone and you go up and you can say, you look so beautiful today. Wow, you just look great. And that person, I mean, I don't care what's going on, they will stand up, their countenance will change. But you walk to them and say, what in the world are you wearing? And they'll go, what? What? And right away, what's wrong with what I'm wearing? What'd you do to your hair? Oh, that's a tough one, guys. I got to tell you. And it's just not fair. When our wives come home and they got their hair redone, and then they come in, the first thing they say is, what do you think? And I think, oh, and the power of the tongue is life. The power of the tongue is death. And I'm going to eat its fruit right now. I love it. I'll deal with the sin of lying before I deal with the wrath of my wife. Oh, come on. Let's all be honest here. You know you've been there. And you're just like, you don't look and say, what did you do? Because you know you're done. Sound bites. The second thing that James talks about here is we move from sound bites, and then we begin to grow up, and we move towards, as teenagers and older people, we move towards sticks and stones. You remember the little children's thing? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will... That is such a lie. Hey, give me the sticks and stones. I'll heal from that bruise. But I find emotional scars are much more, they're deeper. And people are affected by those. Sticks and stones, look at what James says in verses 5 and 6. He says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, very small, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Sticks and stones will go away, but words definitely, definitely make a difference. They're like a small spark. I love this illustration. He says, just the smallest spark can set something on fire. My brother, a couple years ago, he's a fire chief out in South Dakota, volunteer. And they had to go down to the Black Hills, and maybe you saw that, the Black Hills, and they were worried about Mount Rushmore and all that. 80,000 acres were burned up. 80,000 acres. And it all started, and I printed this up looking for fire, and it actually came up and said, oh, that's interesting. My brother was out there fighting this fire for 2 weeks himself, putting his life on the line. And here's why he had to put his life on the line. The Black Hills, South Dakota, over 80,000 acres of valuable timber were destroyed, and the damage was estimated to be in excess of $40 million. How did the fire start? Well, a 46-year-old woman named Janice Stevenson admitted that she stopped by a road, lit a cigarette, and then tossed the still-burning match on the ground. Rather than putting the fire out, she saw that the brush was actually on fire. She got into her car and continued on to her destination, leaving the fire to rage out of control. 80,000 acres, $40 million because of a match. That's all it was for a cigarette. Fire is a powerful tool. And out of control, it'll burn us. But under control, it's kind of nice to have fire. I mean, in fact, it's nice that we have that because today we're in this place and we're warm because we have a heating unit that has a little pilot light that's a nice little fire. Fire is not a bad thing. Fire is a wonderful thing. In fact, the Hebrew word for fire is ash. It's just two little Hebrew letters. What's interesting about the two Hebrew letters that spell fire is they're almost the same letters that used to spell man and woman. Ish and Isha are man and woman. Three Hebrew letters. The first and the last are the exact same for man and woman. The only thing that makes man and woman different is the Hebrew letters right in the middle. You take those middle letters out and you have fire. Man and woman are fire. What's interesting about this is you take that middle letter from man and the middle letter from woman, you put it together, and it's the Hebrew word Yah for Yahweh or God. God right in the middle of man and woman is fire under control in our lives. Passion. We have passion. We have fire in our hearts. You burn with passion. We are passionate people. That's how God made us. When He breathed into man, He breathed into Ish, the breath of God, and this out of control fire became a fire under control. But you take God out of the picture, and I'll tell you what, man's passions can run crazy. We see that every day. Woman's passions can go the wrong way without God in the middle. See, fire is not a bad thing. We are created that close to fire. But with God, it's under control. Without God, we are out of control. It's interesting. A wildfire and a bonfire. They're both fire. But a wildfire is a problem. A bonfire is a blessing. One's a curse and one's a blessing. It's interesting that we use the word bonfire. You ever been around a bonfire? I mean, people are fascinated. You get a bonfire going in your backyard in the summertime and the neighbors come over, want to get the marshmallows out and the chocolate and the s'mores and just sit around a campfire. Isn't it great to just, it's just a nice time. Now, a forest fire, it's like, yeah, I think we need to leave. That's a whole different ballgame. Bonfire, interesting, bon comes from the German word good. Good fire. But wildfire, nobody wants to be a part of that. And the Bible talks about that, and James says, look, we got sticks and stones. We need to change some things in our lives. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but names will never hurt us. Well, the truth of the matter is, words can become like a fire. I've seen that in my life. You've seen that in your life. Somebody says something about you. You ever see that word spread? I mean, I was at a dance with my daughter recently. And my daughter, she's 6 years old, and her school was having this Valentine's dance. I thought, Valentine's dance? I'm going to do something special. The night before, she stayed up and she said, Daddy, I picked out the most beautiful dress. Will you be my date? I said, absolutely, I'll be your date. Well, we were working over here. This was just not too long ago. We were working over here painting and stuff. And I said, I'm going to get there as quick as I can. I'll meet you over there. Well, I got home. I stopped. I picked up a rose and I picked up my daughter. And I went home. I put on a tuxedo. I got there, I walked in, and I went, wow, everybody's in blue jeans and poodle skirts. It's a sock hop. That would have been good information. So I'm standing here in my tux. As I'm standing in my tux, going out and doing things, I said, I don't care, this is my daughter. I'll dance with her all we want to dance. This is my daughter. We're on a date. I don't care what anybody else wears. This is my daughter. She was so excited to have her rose, and on the way home, she says, Daddy, I'm going to keep that rose on my dresser forever. I said, oh, that's so special. She goes, and when I get married, I'm going to give it to my husband. And so she's got that little rose and she's keeping it. We're at the dance and there were some gals talking at the dance and saying, who is that guy? It's a friend of mine that goes to our church. And he says, why? Well, that's Abby's dad. Oh, really? Okay. And they're saying some stuff and kind of awkward, I think, a moment. She says, well, that's our pastor. And they go, oh, okay, that's your pastor. And then they said, is he the one from the church that the pastor had the affair? And she says, well, no. Well, you see, a fire gets spread and it starts lighting things up. And the next thing you know, you can't control that fire. It begins to destroy lives. It begins to hurt people. And the next thing you know, spirits are crushed by it. People get crushed by words. It's not just, your words don't just affect you. They affect people around you. We need to be careful. No wonder why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus said, I want you to know something. Every word that comes out of your mouth, one day when you stand before me in heaven, every word that comes out of your mouth is going to be judged. And I thought, oh, please, no. I want to be sick that day. I don't know about you. Honestly, I'm standing up here as a pastor. I'm not going to lie to you. I want to be sick that day. I don't want every word to be judged. I'm thinking, okay, I'm confessing everything, God. If I missed anything, just get it under the blood because you said you'll remove that and I won't be judged for it. I don't want to be judged for every single word that comes out of my mouth. There are some single words that come out of my mouth that are very hurtful. And I really don't mean them. But there are times where you just say things and you're like, oh, what was I thinking? You know what? And then it becomes a fire. And then somebody else gets a hold of that fire. And you know what it does? They're just like fuel on the fire. And then they say it. And then it goes out here. And it begins to burn some branches over here. And the next thing you know, you look outside and you go, well, there's a forest fire going on. And I'm getting burned. And my kids are getting burned. And that's the way life happens. Life just will hit. And James says, no one can tame the tongue. No one. You can't, by the way. If you say to yourself, oh, I'm going to leave. This is a great message. I'm going to go home today. And I'm going to work on my tongue. Good luck. Tame that thing. Cut it off. No, don't cut it off. But you know what I'm saying? You can't control that thing. It's a blessing and it can be a cursing. And he says, no one can tame the tongue, but I want you to know, he says, it's like a wildfire. That thing is going to be out of control if you're not careful, and it's going to burn people and it's going to hurt. Let me just share a few scriptures with you about it. Here's what it says. Psalm 36 says that the mouth is a fountain of life. Proverbs 10:11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Proverbs 12:25 says, it could actually cure depression. The mouth can cure depression. The scripture says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. It's amazing what your words can do. That's why we have psychologists. What are they trying to do? They're trying to give a good word for that guy laying on the couch or that gal laying on the couch and say, I want to give you a good word so we can get rid of this problem, this anxiety in your life. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant or delightful words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And then Proverbs 11:11 says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Isn't that interesting? The power of the tongue. So I want to close today by saying what he says, James, if you look at verse 7 and 8, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea have been tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is full of a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. Out of the same mouth comes praises and cursings. My brothers, this shouldn't be. So today I want to propose to you, yeah, we've got some sound bites we need to work on. We've got sticks and stones. But I want to give us some speech therapy. That's what I think God wants us to have. A little speech therapy. The speech therapy kind of works this way. My brother's an EMT. I know there's some police officers, EMTs, and hospital type of people here. There's a thing that they're doing since 9/11 that's been huge in training. It's called verbal first aid. They have found, and it's happening in Iraq right now, by the way, they're saving 90% of the wounded. That's never been heard of in war. They are saving 90% of the wounded. I find that to be, and I'm trying to find out why this is happening. And here's what we found out. Verbal first aid is a language of healing that uses prescribed directives, suggestions, and signals to directly affect the healing. In other words, when an ambulance comes up, EMTs are being trained now and have been over the last few years. The first thing they get up there is to say, the worst is over. That's their first words that they're teaching them to say, the worst is over. And they said, it's interesting, They found that when people are in a crisis mode, the autonomic nervous system enters into a fight or flight stage. As a person's laying there, their entire body system begins to shut down and go into a whole different range. The mind, the frontal lobe that normally handles all your conscious decisions, goes to a midbrain consciousness. And you are open to suggestion like you've never been before. And the first thing that happens is somebody comes up that has authority, that speaks with confidence. The mind says, interprets it, says, that must be true. Therefore, I believe it. This is the power of suggestion right here. And they said EMTs are being taught this. Researchers have found that this state places the patient into a healing zone in which they are maximally open to words and thoughts. The healing zone is defined as an altered state of consciousness created by crisis, stress, confusion, physical trauma, or fear. Now, isn't that what we need in our lives? We have all this stuff that can happen that can tear us down, and we need someone with authority to step into our lives and say, hey, guess what? The worst is over. We need words of hope. If somebody comes in and says, whoa, this is, could you imagine you're laying there and you're kind of in that state of confusion in an accident? I've come upon a few accidents, and you're laying there and someone comes in and says, boy, this doesn't look good. You're laying there going, that's me. I must not be going to make, I'm not going to make it. And your body immediately goes into that state and says, I'm not going to make it. Listen, I've sat down with families and with children and in funerals and in other things, and I've sat down and said, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. The worst, honestly, is over. And you know what? They look at me as an authority figure saying, really? Is that true? I mean, you've done this for 20 years. I mean, I've sat with babies and teenagers and senior citizens at and families at hospitals and funerals, and I've had to talk to people about, hey, yes, the worst is over. We need hope in our lives. I could have said, boy, I don't know what to do. Your life is terrible. I don't know what else you're going to do. And they go, well, I don't know, pastors, if you tell me there's nothing I can do. Maybe could you imagine the EMT comes up and says, well, there's nothing we can do. And you're laying there going, no, come back. And they taught EMTs to come up and say, the worst is over. We're putting a splint on now. And we're going to get you the hot. And they're hearing those. Oh, it must be okay. They're working on me. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And your mind says, it's going to be all right. And some of the most healing powers you have are already within your own body. As you're laying there, it's going to be all right. See, we need some speech therapy. Listen, marriages, some marriages aren't perfect. I understand. I just did a wedding yesterday. And we talked about those vows for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better, for worse. What does that mean? Well, it means forever. Some of the marriages, you need to speak some speech therapy into your marriages. You need to be saying stuff like, hey, the worst is over. Okay? You can do that. You can make by an act of your will, you can be like the horse, and you can turn it around right now. Now, your whole circumstances may not turn around, and you may have that little rudder going on. We've been fighting for 10 years. You don't understand, Pastor. Yes, I do. I understand. I've seen it. I've been there. You can turn that situation around, and you can make it work by an act of your will today. Speech therapy. Let me give you two things in speech therapy that need to happen. The Bible says here, this ought not to be. How can salt water and fresh water come from the same spring? And so what I want to say to you is we need to go to the heart. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, the same place that every one of your words are going to be judged. Right before that, in verse 34, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen, you got a good well, you're going to get good water. You got a salty well, you're going to put salt into people's wounds. He says, we ought not to have this. So let me help you get rid of the salt in your life. Two things that you need to do. One, we need the instruction manual. You want to get a good heart so you can speak good words? Well, listen, let's learn a new speech language. Love. The bride just said, Pastor, are you going to read 1 Corinthians 13 at my wedding? I want 1 Corinthians 13 at my wedding. I said, sure, I'll read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. It is not boastful. It is not self-seeking. Love endures. Love where there's... And the love chapter. And she says, oh, read that for us. Please read that. And that's putting words. She says, I want those words into my life. And listen, read this word and you'll put words into your life. Learn a new language. Instead of languages of I hate you, learn to say, man, I'm praying for you. I don't care for you a whole lot, but I can love you. No, I'm serious. The Bible doesn't say you have to like someone. It does say you don't hate them. It says pray for those who persecute you. Love them. You know, it's pretty hard for someone to really be mad at you when you walk up and you give them a big hug and say, I just want you to know, I'm praying for you. What are you doing? Don't touch me. I just want you to know, I have been praying for you all week. Don't you, you what? I just want you to know, don't you know I hate you? I know. That's why I'm even praying for you more. Man, I'll tell you what are they, what's going to happen? I mean, that's speaking life, not death. Learn how to speak like the Bible. I love what Psalm chapter 1 says. It says, do not stand in the way of the sinner or sit in the seat of the mocker, go in the way of the ungodly, but delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on this day and night, and you will be like a tree planted by streams of water, who yields his fruit in season and out of season, and whatever you do will prosper. That's the way I want to live my life. And so I'm going to meditate upon this. I'm going to find a new language in my life. I've got a new instructor's manual. It's God's Word. Then I'm going to practice my speech. And that's what I was doing with my son today. I'm trying to practice my speech. And this is the last thing I want to tell you. Just practice your speech. You know, when you wake up in the morning, guys, more than anything, your wife still wants to know how beautiful she is. Tell her how beautiful she is. You ought to find the beauty in her. She wants to be validated. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when God placed Eve right in the center of His garden and said, of all the flowers, of all the beautiful trees, of the incredible mountains and valleys and ranges I've ever made, is there anything more beautiful than the centerpiece of my garden, Eve? And ever since that time, she's just wanted to know one thing. Just tell me, I'm beautiful. Guys, wake up every day and tell your children how wonderful they are. Your parents, call your parents up and say, I just want to thank you for being the kind of parents that instilled and find a value and say this into my life. Thank you for being this kind of person. Thank you for providing for me. I never said it all those years. Call them up every day and say, I just want to thank you for being my mom and dad. You'd be surprised how much longer they'll live. I guarantee you. They've already done studies to find out that couples that kiss every day live 5 years longer than couples that don't kiss. There ought to be a lot of kissing going on. Not right now. Man, get one of those churches. It's a kissing church. It's true. You start speaking love into your life, I guarantee you, you're going to live longer. You're going to be happier. Countenances will change. Your situation. I'm going to tell you, that big boat is going to turn around in your life because God says if you'll do these things, you got to practice your speech. Here's younger people, older people. Here's some things in our home that we try to practice all the time. One is please, thank you, and you're welcome. We believe in our house that those are huge language things that are just important. It says, please, would you? You're welcome. That's just an important thing in our lives. Another one is, I'm sorry, and will you forgive me? That's one that we try to practice all the time. Not just, sorry. No, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I'm so sorry. Would you forgive me? Because now the other person looks and goes, you're giving me a choice? See, when we say sorry, there's no choice. Sorry, it's all better, right? Because I said, I'm sorry. Well, there's no choice in that. You just walked away going, I'm still controlling the situation. In our house, and this is a hard thing for me. I'm a controller. I don't know if guys are just that way. I'm a remote controller. All right. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And with my children getting down on a knee and saying, would you please forgive me? Daddy was wrong. And my children have the power of a choice to say, yes, Dad. I forgive you. You know what that says to them? Oh, practice your love language. Practice the words of life in your home. So we use those. And then at night and in the daytime, in the morning, we try to always say, I love you. Those are just huge words. We try to say, I love you. We try. That is a practice. We practice. We try. We practice. Start practicing those things. And it might be weird at first. And you turn and say, I love you. And she says, what do you want? She says, I don't want anything. I just want to tell you I love you. What do you want? I really, you guys, and we need to be able to do that. Expression of intimacy without any strings attached. It's true. And with your children, they need to know the same thing. And kids, try this with your parents. You will freak them out. Mom, Dad, I just want you to know you're wonderful. What? We have a video we're going to show here. I want you to understand the power of words. The tongue is powerful. I learned watching Regis and Kathy. Now this is old because I said Regis and Kathy Lee. And they had the Miss America from 1968. And she was just absolutely stunningly beautiful. And it's been a lot of years since she was Miss America, 1968. And they said, you are so beautiful and you've won all these pageants. You were Miss America. What do you attribute to? And she said these words, my father. And they said, your father? She said, every morning when I woke up, my dad would say to me, he was right there, and he would say, how's my little Miss America doing today? Every night when I would go to bed and he would tuck me in, he says, good night, my little Miss America. She says, when I grew up, I honestly thought I was so beautiful that I was Miss America. So, not to sound rude, but when I became Miss America, it really wasn't that hard of an adjustment for me. And I thought, how cool, her dad. And so at night, I would tuck in my kids, my daughter, how's my little princess? How's my little princess? And I'd go over and tuck in my son. How's my little Billy Graham? This is true. I used to do this. How's my little Billy Graham? And I'd tuck in my other son. How's my little millionaire? Now, you do what you want, but I actually did this. This is true. I'm not just preaching. This is true. And I would say this stuff to them each night, and I would, you know, and I'm trying to affirm something into their life because I know they're going to grow up with these sound bites in their lives, and I know sticks and stones are going to hurt them one day, and they're going to have those negative things hitting them in their lives, and they need something that'll warm them up. They need good fire. They need bone fire. And I know that they need speech therapy, and I am the therapist in their lives. For my wife, God has made me responsible, and for my children, and I am a poor example. But I want you to know that how convicting this is today, that I think blessings and cursings exist. And I want to be the father and husband I can be. And I know you want to be the kind of people that you can be for God. It can change even the worst situation. And if we can get someone to get those lights in the back, I want you to see the full impact of this video.